Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. I thank you that it's time now for us to gather around these scriptures, gather around your inspired word. Thank you for these seeds we're about to plant in our hearts. I pray for open ears and open minds to hear what you're saying to us this morning through your word. And in the mighty name of Jesus, I speak out understanding so that these seeds are not stolen and wasted. Speak out understanding so that these seeds can germinate and grow and produce the fruit we desire. In Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. I'd said I wasn't going to do a series, but I'm kind of moving into what probably looks like a mini-series. I'm on my third week of looking at Law and Grace. So the last 2 weeks we've looked at pictures, types, shadows, analogies, explaining a bit more about what law is like and what grace is like. The first week we looked at John the Baptist and Jesus. John the Baptist, a picture of law, pointing the way to Jesus, who's a picture of grace. John the Baptist having to diminish in his ministry to the point of nothing, so that Jesus could increase in his ministry to the point of everything. Remember we spoke about we do need a balance between law and grace. What's the balance? 0% law, 100% grace, but it's still on a balance. We need that. Then last week, what I thought was an awesome message, although I didn't get as big a clap as I did for John the Baptist, but never mind. There's no accounting for taste. I spoke about the prodigal son, or rather, I spoke about the prodigal son's brother being a picture of law, standing outside the tent, getting really annoyed at everybody having a great time inside the tent with the brother, with the father, grace. And we looked at how that explains a little bit about law and grace, the differences between law and grace. I want to carry on this week, but I'm not looking at a picture. I'm not looking at a type or a shadow. I'm going to be looking at an aspect that I don't think we think of enough, or we don't look at enough. I've been having a revelation for the last couple of weeks, and I really want to teach it today, even though I've really not got it myself. Does that kind of make sense? I was looking at the message last night, and I was looking at it again this morning at the breakfast table, and I was saying to Nunzi, this looks like a really garbled message. Because I'm getting this revelation, but I don't think I have it 100%. Nunzi, bless her, says, well, maybe, darling, you're just laying the ground rules today, or just groundwork. So it might sound a bit garbled and jumping about, but I hope you get the gist of it. What I'm going to talk about, I've never really heard it being preached like this before. I've never heard these words being used that way about law and grace. I hope it'll be challenging. Remember, we don't like going from challenge to condemnation, because challenge is from the Lord, condemnation is from the enemy. So don't feel condemned when I'm telling you about all these great things you should be doing and you're not. It's one of those messages, okay? Everybody repeat after me, I love Pastor Vic. Excellent. So you've just said that, so I can now say anything to you. I think it'll be challenging. It might get you to sort of examine yourselves, but remember, you're not examining yourselves for sin. It might get you to think about your motives, ideas about law and grace. Don't let it condemn you, but hey, I hope it challenges you. So we know lots of scriptures about grace, don't we? We like all these great scriptures about grace, like Romans 6. Romans 6, 14 to 18. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under law, but under grace. Amen. What then shall we say? Because we are not under the law, but under grace? God forbid. Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness. But God be thanked that ye were the servants of sin, but ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered you. Being then made free from sin, ye became the servants of righteousness. I love this. Under grace, we are still slaves, we are still servants. But instead of being a slave or a servant to sin, we're slaves and servants to righteousness. Told you about this before. I see myself being righteous as I'm in a cage. In a cage? That doesn't sound good. Yeah, I'm in a cage of righteousness and I cannot escape. I cannot pick the lock and get out of being righteous. Yes, I may be doing some unrighteous things, but that's in my flesh and in my mind. In my spirit, I'm completely righteous and I cannot escape that. Now, that's because of grace. And that's really good news. When the Lord looks at you, if you're born again, he looks at you and sees righteousness. And not just your righteousness, the righteousness of him through Christ. That's good news under grace, isn't it? You're as righteous as God. Do you think God's righteous? Of course he is. So we are as well. And then we look at scriptures like Galatians 5:1. We all love that, don't we? You know, we've all been set free. Galatians 5:1. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. That's a great passage about grace. We're free from that bondage of law and religion. Don't have to go under that bondage anymore. Completely free, not under the law. It's wonderful. And then we've got passages like Galatians 3:13. Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. We're not under the curse of the law anymore. That's awesome. That's the good news of grace. Jesus dealt with that curse when he hung on the tree, and it's gone. This news about grace, these scriptures, they just get better and better. It's just awesome. I'm not cursed anymore. I am blessed. Under grace, I've got all spiritual blessings. Ephesians 1:3, that's the next great sort of grace scripture. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. I haven't done this for a long time. What does all mean, Eveline? All. It means all. To the exclusion of nothing. He hath. He's given it to us already. Everything we need. 2 Peter 1:3. Everything we need for life and godliness. He's already given us. And we see it manifest through the knowledge of him who hath called us to glory and virtue. Jesus Christ. Great passages about grace. We get all this good stuff because we're under grace. We don't get any of the bad stuff because we're not under law. All great stuff. Under grace. And I hear that being preached all the time, and there's nothing wrong with it. That's what I preach all the time, about the goodness of grace. What we have through Christ, who we are in Christ, what we have because of Christ. I love hearing grace preachers speaking about that all the time. But there is another aspect of grace that I don't think we hear enough of. And I've had this revelation over the last couple of weeks, and Michelle kind of touched on it this morning. In the offering, it's about the responsibility we have while we're under grace. What do we do with this goodness? How should we be acting to others because of grace? What are we capable of because of grace? Now, what I'm going to talk about, you might think it's going to get a little bit law-ish, Vic, because you're saying we should be doing this, we should be doing that. No, it's now what we're capable of doing. What we're able to do because of grace. That's what I'm talking about. We have these awesome grace passages that tell us how much we've got. But then there's other passages that we need to focus on that we look at because of grace. Let's look at Romans 12 for a start. Romans 12, 17 to 21. So I'm sure you love all these grace passages that say you're righteous, you're free, there's no bondage, you've got all these spiritual blessings. But then there's other grace passages that say this, verse 17, recompense to no man evil for evil, provide things honest in the sight of all men. If it is possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. Passages like this, under grace. Therefore, if thine enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink. For in doing so, thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. Ooh, don't like those verses as much as having all spiritual blessings. I don't like that verse as much as I am not cursed anymore. What's this saying? This is grace is telling us to love our enemies. You live under grace. We've agreed to that, haven't you? Yeah, we want all the spiritual blessings. Yeah, we love the freedom. We love the fact that we're not cursed. Love your enemies. Feed your enemies. Give your enemies something to drink. Never, ever go looking for revenge for anything, no matter what anybody's done to you. Live peaceably with all men. Well, that sounds quite hard. And then we have Ephesians 4:24. Let's have a look at that. And we know Ephesians is a grace book, yes? Yeah. We all love Ephesians 1 to 3. Well, about the finished work of Jesus Christ, what about Ephesians 4 to 6? Ephesians 4:32. And be kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as Christ for God's sake hath forgiven you. Here's another potentially difficult verse, but it's under grace. Be kind to one another, forgiving one another. Now, my understanding of Scripture, this Scripture and other Scriptures, this thing about forgiveness is really quite easy. It's an easy biblical concept. As New Covenant, born-again believers, we forgive everybody for everything. Ah, there's a few of you smiling. Hit anybody yet? Ouch! Ouch! That's my understanding of New Covenant Scripture. That's my understanding of living under grace. Oh, we love all the great stuff. We love it that we're all blessed. We're all freed. We're not cursed. But what do we feel about forgiving everybody for everything? That's our responsibility under grace. Now, the Lord is amazing. Last week, I probably might have felt slightly not equipped to be spouting off to you guys about you need to forgive everybody for everything. But I'd give you a pretty good testimony about 20 minutes ago. Not saying, oh, wow, look at me. But guys, it can be done. And I'll tell you how it can be done later on. Give you a quick clue. It's the Holy Spirit, it's the Word, it's Jesus. But you knew that was coming anyway. My understanding of grace, of New Covenant grace scriptures, is we ought to be forgiven everybody for everything. Now, I don't know about you, but I've had some rotten stuff come against me. I've had some pretty rotten people come against me with some pretty rotten stuff. That scripture says I need to forgive them for everything. Doesn't matter what they've done. Under grace, I should be forgiven everybody for everything, and so should you. I have preached through Galatians and Ephesians in the last couple of years. Remember when I was preaching them, Galatians and Ephesians are kind of split into halves. First half of Galatians and Ephesians is really talking about the finished work of Jesus Christ, who we are in Christ, and what we have because of Christ. And then the second half, which we don't want to read, we'll just read the first half. The second halves are about how we should be behaving as a Christian. Not because we have to, but because we can, because of the finished work of Jesus. That's why Ephesians and Galatians are written the way they are. If Paul just wrote a great huge list of do's and don'ts, it would be pretty hard. But he starts with, here is who you are in Christ. Here is what Jesus has done for you. Here is what is possible now. Because of him, there's the list of things. The evidence that we should be seeing because you're now under grace. The responsibility that you have as a born-again believer because you're under grace. That's it, the responsibility of what we have. I don't know about you guys, but you read Ephesians and Galatians, there's some hard stuff in there. Really hard stuff, I want. Read some of the things James tells us to do. Read some of the things in Timothy and Titus. There's some hard things to do in there. Love your wife. That's easy. That's easy. It's the obeying that... That's the next verse, darling.
Amen.
Okay, husbands, wives, men, women. There's some difficult stuff in there, isn't there? Yeah, even if you're not married, there's some difficult stuff in there, isn't there? Under grace. It's not all, ooh, look at all these blessings. There's responsibilities. But Vic, I thought we weren't under the law. You know, I thought it wasn't do this, do that. That's not what Ephesians and Galatians and all these grace passages are about. It's not about a list of do's and don'ts. The revelation I'm coming to, though, in the last couple of weeks is, yes, we're no longer under the law. So there are no requirements of us placed by the law. For us, the law is finished. We don't have to adhere to the law. We are now under grace. Hallelujah, so we don't have to do anything. No, God forbid. What I see under grace are expectations. Listen to this. That are higher than the standard of the law. Oh, no. That's the revelation I'm coming to now. I'm looking at the Word and I'm seeing there are expectations of behavior as a born-again believer. And when I look at what Jesus says, and when I look at what Paul writes later on, those expectations are higher than what was under the law. And no one could fulfill the law. So what chance do we have? Because our standards have just been raised higher than the law. But you see, the thing about grace is there are expectations on us higher than the law, but there's no demands. There's no demands. So listen very carefully. So there's no punishment when you fail. I didn't say there's no punishment if you fail. There's no punishment when we fail. And that's the difference. Let me say it in fewer words. I tried to articulate this last week to someone that I had during worship at the end. It said, now there are no requirements under the law. However, grace expects, but does not demand, more. Don't like using the word mantra because that's from religion. But my new mantra is going to be, no requirements under the law. However, grace expects, but does not demand, more. There was expectations and demands under the law. Jesus fulfilled the law, so we didn't have to. But now, because of Jesus, the Lord has higher expectations of us, but no demands. I love that. So grace preachers, myself, we've all been preaching the no demands, no demands, no demands. All the blessings, 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 no demands, no demands, no demands. But guys, it's time we stepped up to the plate, to steal a cliche from baseball. It's time we stepped up to the plate and saw our responsibilities, saw the expectations that the Lord has for us. Now, this is not law. Because if I preach about something and we don't do it, or one of you don't do it, I'm not going to come down on you like a ton of bricks. You know the kind of pastor I am. You know that my way to improve you guys is to tell you about Jesus. Teach you about Jesus. That's what we're doing. I have to be honest. I'm starting to get this revelation. I have expectations of you, but I'm not going to put any demands on. Hopefully, after we've heard this lesson, you'll put expectations on yourself, but no demands. That's the great thing about grace. No demands. But what I am seeing in the last couple of weeks is there's this expectation that's higher for us. Now, I'm going to try and explain it, but I'm not quite there yet. Let me try and explain it to you this way. Let's look at what we do with our money. Woohoo! One of the most popular teachings I ever gave, and it was listened to by the masses online, was you don't have to tithe. The next week's one about, but you need to give, wasn't nearly as popular. And it's probably going to be the same this time. Now, under the law, we all know that there were requirements. You had to give to the priests, to the temple. You had to give, and that was called the tithe. Now, you can look up different books. You can look through the Word. You can work it out yourself. There's estimates from 10% to 23% to 33% to even more of what a tithe actually was. But let's just go all religious and come up to date. We're talking about 10%. People teach that. I've never seen other people teach anything different. Tithe, 10%. Get it into the storehouse, you'll be blessed. Don't give us your 10%, you'll be cursed. Don't give us your 10%, God will take it out of you in hospital bills, Andrew says. Today, the church, the world, interprets the tithe as 10%. Under the law, you had to give 10%. Now, okay, you Old Covenant scholars will say, well, Vic, it was actually this, it was that. Let's just bang up to date. 10%. Let's just use that example. If you gave 10%, you were blessed. If you didn't give the 10%, you were cursed. It was seen as theft from God. That's what the Bible says. Now, I teach that we're no longer under the law. I teach that we're no longer under the tithe. We do not have to tithe because we're under grace. Now, more often than not, that is misunderstood by people listening, especially people who teach about tithing. Because what they hear when I say, you don't have to tithe, what they hear is, you don't have to give. Now, I've never said that. Unless you're being grip it and you're not cheerful. Then I say, keep it, I don't want it. But if you're giving properly, I'll take it. I'll take everything you want to give me. I've got a school to build next. So I'll have it. Under the law, you were taught, if you tithe, you're blessed. If you not tithe, you're not blessed. But I don't teach that. And that's sometimes misunderstood as you don't need to give. That couldn't be further from the truth. We teach from 2 Corinthians 9:7-8. 2 Corinthians 9:7-8 is what we teach. Every man according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound towards you, that ye, always having all sufficiency in all things, so you've got all you need, then may abound to every good work. My understanding of that scripture, giving money to the Lord under grace, is not a tithe, but you choose how much to give, when to give it, how much to give, and be happy about it. And don't feel under obligation. And then there's another verse 8, which says, you may abound unto every good work. Now, I know there are lots and lots and lots of good works. So that to me says we need to be giving a fair amount. And what this doesn't give is an upper limit. It doesn't give a lower limit, and it doesn't give an upper limit. It says nothing about 10%. I look at this verse, and I have a wee sneaky suspicion that if we were to live out those verses, it would be more than 10%. And that is what I see from people who really get grace. Some of the givers in here are phenomenal. I see what they give and I think, God, if that's 10%, you must be loaded. But I think it's more. I think it's more than 10%. This talks to me of doing extra. This talks to me of giving more than was required by the law. But do you also see what this verse has or doesn't have? It doesn't have the demand. Under the law, you shall. Actually, I will take it. It's about taking 10%. Tithing, taking it. Under grace, it's you decide how much you give. You decide what to give to. And that, to me, you may disagree with me, but that looks probably a bit more than 10%. It could be 5% one week. It's what you choose to give. But there's no upper limit. Go to Luke 6:29 with me. And unto him that smiteth thee on the one cheek, offer also the other. Do a little bit extra. And him that taketh away thy cloak, him that steals your cloak, forbid not to take thy coat also. This is Jesus talking about doing something a bit extra as well. Somebody slaps you in the face, don't knee him in the you-know-whats and punch him back. Turn around and give him the other cheek. Go that little bit extra. Somebody steals something from you, give them something else. That's just ridiculous. Under the law, if someone stole your cloak, you would expect them to get punished. And under the law, they would get punished. Isn't there one of those Ten Commandment things? Isn't there one of them that says, thou shalt not steal? Breaking the law. Cursed. Under grace, when Jesus is talking and giving us these difficult things, he's telling his disciples, there's this time coming, guys, when I expect you to do this. Now, in hindsight, it's a wonderful thing. We can read the whole word and see that Jesus is talking about the new covenant. Once the new covenant's here, once you're living under grace, I expect something different. So instead of under the law, if somebody nicks something from you, you can get them stoned, killed, whatever. There's punishment. Jesus saying, guys, that's the bar. That's the bar there. That's what happens if somebody steals something under the law. Now, under grace, under the new covenant, I'm just putting the bar way up there. Somebody steals something for you, give them someone else. It's ridiculous. Jesus is saying, do extra. Go the extra mile. Tithing under the law was about taking money from you. Offerings under grace is about you giving. And I think that's about giving more. Under the law, there were set amounts to give. Set things for you to do as well in all the different parts of the law. Under grace, there's no amounts. But you know what else under grace? There's no limits. No limits. Let's just imagine we were living under law. And I demanded of you every week. I demanded. In fact, I took 10% of everything you had. I demanded that. And it was for me. Because back then it was for the priests. I demanded 10% of everything that you had. Would the mindset be for you to give me something extra? See, that's the mindset of law. It's demanded of you, so I'll give you just what I need to give you. But under grace, there's no amounts. Under grace, I see people who understand grace and understand giving, giving more than that 10% limit. I was saying to Nancy this morning, imagine if we were a tithing church and I demanded that 10% of you every week. Gotta have it, or you're cursed, Chris. Give me that 10%, or you are cursed. I'd come back from India and say, oh, there's a great project over there. Can you help me build it? No, you got my 10%. Take a hike. Don't have to give me extra. You don't have to give me extra because I'm under the law and I'm doing what I need to do. So I'm all self-righteous. No, I'm sorted. I'm giving my 10%. Do I sound like Chris? No. That's the mindset, guys. That is the mindset. I demand something of you. You do it. And you sit back, I've done my bit. See, under grace, guys, your bit's never finished. Under grace, there's no limits. And that's what I see. People under grace give more. Nunzi, bless her. You don't think Nunzi gets annoyed, do you? I've seen the beast waking up. All right? But it annoys me as well. People who teach tithing think that grace people don't want to give. And that includes grace preachers who preach tithing. Talk about other grace people who don't want to give. I've got something to say to them. Come and look at my MGF spreadsheets and see what my guys give. See how much my non-tithers give. And I tell you, my non-tithers tithe and then do some more in their definition. I can't prove it, but I can show you the spreadsheet. I can show them the orphan and widows feeding station that you've built because you understand giving and you understand grace. And you get nothing out of that, really, in worldly terms. But you're sowing into the kingdom. You're storing up treasure in heaven. I don't know how many beautiful little Indian children and old widows we're going to meet in heaven. And it's because of you guys that we're here. That's treasure, eh? That's awesome. That's a good place to start. Show them that. Jesus often spoke to his disciples, didn't he? And you can see him raising the bar all the time. Jesus talking about what he expects from his disciples. Hindsight is a wonderful thing. We can look back and see what Jesus says in the Gospels, and we can see that's about what he expects coming. What he expects because of his finished work. What I see Jesus doing, speaking to his disciples, as they were under the law, absolutely impossible to do. The law was impossible. And Jesus came along and said, guys, I'm just going to make it a bit harder. Yeah, that's what I'd have done. I'll just go home then. Oh, you're going to show me how to do it? Excellent, I'll hang around. Sermon on the Mount, for example. Look at that. There's items in there where Jesus' teaching is raising the bar. Guys, we know adultery is wrong under the law. You're cursed. It's a baddie. Now you just need to think about it. Now you just need to look at whoever. Ooh, nice. Oop, that's it. Don't laugh at me, ladies. I know you do it as well. Mom, Michelle shaking her head. No, never, never. Under the law, you couldn't kill. Doesn't it? Thou shalt not kill. Think ill of your brother. You've killed him. Here's the bar for adultery. Jesus says, okay, guys, way up there now. Here's the bar for murder. Guys, just even think ill of someone. I don't like you, you waster. You just killed them. Challenged, not condemned. Remember that big thing I started at first. Thou shalt not steal. Pick someone up, cut your hand off. Look at something you shouldn't be looking at, poke your eye out. I ask this question. Any of you been in church recently and seen one-eyed, one-handed Christians? No, because we're not meant to take that literally. This is Jesus raising the bar. Here is the law. There's the standard. I'm here. You can't fulfill the law. I'm here. I'm your savior. And just to make sure you know that, I'm going to raise the bar even higher. So in order for you to go over that bar, you need me. He's raising the bar. He's raising the expectations. Under the law, we weren't allowed to commit adultery. Under grace, can't even think about it. That's the expectation, but there's no demands. And hallelujah, no punishment when we fail. Let's just get that out again. These things that Jesus is talking about are impossible to do on your own. So why is he asking his disciples to do them? He's asking his disciples to do them because there is a time coming when it would be possible. Time coming when it would be possible. Hopefully I've explained that for us now there's no requirements under the law, but there's higher requirements under grace. But no demands. No demands. There is no scripture that I can see demanding that you give more than a tenth in the New Covenant. There are people that tell you that tithing is described in the New Covenant. Yeah, to slate it. I can't see anything in the New Covenant demanding you have to give more. But I see scriptures that possibly hint at the expectation. But no demands. And we see that in all the other things that Jesus spoke about in the Sermon on the Mount, and Jesus speaking through, love your enemies. Love your enemies? This is a people that are being killed by the Romans. Now, we're not having people coming killing us. We're having people persecuting us. Oh, you stupid Christian, you believe that rubbish? That's a lot of the limits of our persecution. Jesus is telling these guys, love your enemies. Paul, we've looked at that verse, love your enemies. Yeah, love the people sticking you on stakes and setting you on fire. Love the people throwing you to the lions. Love the people slaughtering your family. Yeah, it's gone awful quiet in here, isn't it? Vic, I'll never be able to do it on my own strength. Hallelujah. Of course you won't. But guys, you're living under the new covenant. You're living under a new time. You don't have your own strength. You have the strength of the indwelling Holy Spirit. You have the word. You're more than able. We all know the Ten Commandments, don't we? We all know of the Ten Commandments. They kind of underpin the law. Yeah? You were required to do them or you were cursed. If you did them, you were blessed. Hallelujah. Under grace, we are no longer under the Ten Commandments. Woohoo. You're now under something much harder to comply with. People get upset when I say we're not meant to live under the Ten Commandments. We don't have to live by the Ten Commandments. Again, they misinterpret that. So I can go out and commit adultery. I can go out and kill. No, that's not what I'm saying. But I am saying we are not meant to try and live out the Ten Commandments under law, because that's not for us as New Covenant believers. Like I say, this may surprise you. You are now under a harder standard and a higher bar. See, the Ten Commandments are down here. Jesus gave us only two. Now, they're not a fifth as easy. If the Ten Commandments are there, it's like up here. Matthew 22:36. Master, which is the greatest commandment in the law? Jesus said unto him, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like unto it. Love your neighbor with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. On these two commandments hung all the law and the prophets. Again, this is for the new covenant. Old covenant, Ten Commandments. New covenant, only two. Woohoo! Don't know how I got on with the ten. Maybe I can fulfill the two. What? Love God with everything you've got and love everybody in the world with everything you've got. There you go. Just like that. Love God with everything and love thy neighbor, which is everybody in the world apart from you, Lyra. Oh, who's my neighbor? Everybody. Everybody who's not you. Now, I don't know about you, but there's some unlovable people out there. Eh? Isn't there? Your non-favorite politicians, your non-favorite tin pot dictators, your non-favorite mass murderers, your enemies. That's a bit harder than nae stealing, nae killing. Come at your neighbor's ox. So, Ten Commandments, not for us, but these two are. That's so hard, yes. That's impossible, yes. In your own strength. But the great news is, under grace, your own strength doesn't count. Because it's not about you. Under the law, no man was saved as we are saved. Do you get that? Under the law, before the new covenant, nobody was saved in the way we were saved. Saved by faith in Jesus Christ and his finished work. New spirit created, sealed. That's special to the new covenant. After the finished work of Jesus Christ. These men trying to live under the law were not equipped to fulfill the Ten Commandments. But us, living under grace, we are equipped to fulfill the two higher standards. Do you get that? Law is a way down here, but so is the equipment to do it. It's actually under the bar, so you couldn't get above it. Now Jesus raises the bar, the standard, the expectations, but equips us to be a way up here. Because who's doing the business? Him, through his Holy Spirit. Once we understand that, I want to say, it's not easy. Yeah, it is easy. Maybe it's not simple. Once we understand that, it's easy. Maybe not simple. Under law, you were blessed if you performed in your own strength. Under grace, listen to this, if we know we are blessed, then we can perform in his strength so much more. It's the other way around. Law, you had to perform to be blessed. Well, grace, we're now blessed with everything. We looked at those verses, the good verses, remember? The ones before I started giving you all the expectations. If we understand the good verses, we fulfill those expectations by accident, without even trying. Why? Because all the goodness in our spirit is being made manifest in our flesh. And it's His goodness, it's His fruit, it's the fruit of the Spirit that we can make manifest under grace. That's already been deposited in there the second we were born again. All spiritual blessings, all we need for life and godliness, all we have to do is work it out through the Word and through His strength. It's great. Law was all about what a man could do. Grace is all about what men can do through Christ. Now, if we're doing it through Christ, guys, we can jump over any bar. Because it's Him. So His power, with His authority, His might, we can achieve so much more than any man under law could have, because they weren't equipped. Jesus raised the bar, but He also equipped us. That's why we can do it. Awesome. We've been given so much. We need to realize that. Philippians 4:13. I'm getting near the end. Philippians 4:13. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Not, I can do the bare minimum that I have to. I can do all things. Anything you want to do, guys, you can do it. It doesn't say, I can do just enough to keep God happy. I just have to give my 10%. It's not saying that. It says, I can do all things. That means all things. That is why I can say, we're expected to give so much more under grace. The expectation is raised, but so is the equipping. The expectation is raised, but it's Him. If I was to say to you, can Jesus do anything? Oh, absolutely. Can the Holy Spirit do anything? Absolutely. Can God do anything? Absolutely. Well, that's who's working through you. So you can do anything. That's why there's so much more expected, but there are no demands, because it's not you. Just need to grasp that. No demands, because it's not us doing it. No demands, so there's no punishment, as under the law. A law mentality, I think I've said this already, a law mentality breeds a mindset of doing the minimum required. But it also breeds condemnation when you don't do the minimum required. And it's not just the law. If you put yourself under law, I will study for an hour a day. You do that for a few days and then you study for 50 minutes, condemnation is going to come in. And I tell you what, see if you're really good and you do study for an hour every day for a week, condemnation is going to come in because the enemy will say, you ought to be doing an hour and a half. You worthless piece of nothing. An hour a day? Pathetic. There's 24 hours in the day. Why are you only giving God one? See, that's a law mentality. It'll lead to condemnation. A grace mentality. A mentality of realizing what Jesus has done, what we have in Him, what we have through Him. That mentality will breed a desire to do more than is required. To go the extra mile. To give that cloak as well as a coat. To do the extra. It's a desire to do so much more. I know this from personal experience. Man, I used to hate when the offering bag came round. Grip it, you've never seen anything like it. Put in the minimum. What's the minimum I can get away with? What's the minimum that God's going to be happy with? I'd never even got to the tithing. I never even got to the 10%. I was just never there. I've got a fiver and a tenner. I just got a fiver. Fiver, that's okay. Terrible attitude. Do the absolute minimum. Now, I love seeing the pictures coming through for India. And I know we're all in it together, but you can do this as well. You can look at those beautiful pictures coming through for India and say, I paid for that. And not in a prideful thing, but I love that my money is going into that project. And I'm not getting much out. Well, I'll get somewhere to sleep, hopefully, when we get there. And a toilet. And somewhere to sit. The difference when you grasp grace. And again, guys, I'm not saying, oh, well, look how perfect I am, because I'm not. It's taken me a long time to get here and a lot of heartache for that lady sitting there. But we're getting there. Grace and an understanding of grace will change you so that you want to do so much more. Law mentality, 10% is enough. Grace mentality, how much can I give? Law mentality is 10% God's, 90% is mine. Grace mentality is, I'm a steward. Everything is God's. Yes, I need to provide for my family. I need to have food. I need to have petrol for the car, blah, blah, blah. But how much can I give? Where's all these every good works I can give into? That's a grace mentality. That's a higher standard than 10%. And I know there's people in here that have got that. Friends, grace is not the easy option. It's not the easy option if we look at it in terms of the expectations of what we should be doing. Yeah, law's gone. We haven't got those expectations. Great, that's what we really focus on. Because the expectations are way higher. We have a responsibility to a hurting world to get the message of grace out there. The bar has been raised. I've just had a picture. What's that when you pick a thing in and you go up over the bar? Pole vault. Thank you. I just had a picture of that pole vault, the bar going up and up and up. But I've just had a picture as well as the pole getting bigger and bigger. So as Jesus has raised the bar, he's raised the equipment that we have. Under law in our own strength, under grace in his strength. It doesn't matter how high that bar is, we've got a pole big enough to get over because Jesus has given us that. We have the indwelling Holy Spirit. We have the fruit of the Spirit. We have his word. We have a personal relationship with Jesus that was not available through the law. We are so much more equipped. We can do so much more. The law is not for us. Grace is not an easy option. Yet we have great things because of grace. We have awesome things because of grace. We have all the blessings. We have all the good stuff. But the expectation of what we need to do has been raised. The demands are not there, but the expectation has been raised. Guys, I just pray that as you study out and understand more about the finished work of Jesus, you'll raise your own expectations. Amen. Hallelujah. We hope and pray that you have been blessed by listening to this message from Murray Grace Fellowship. Our vision is to provide all our messages free of charge. And for this, we thank those brothers and sisters who provide financially into the ministry. If you would like to partner with us in the preaching of the gospel, please go to our podcast site at mgf.podbean.com, where you can find our partnership link. Thank you for listening. Be blessed and be a blessing. Amen.